Okay, so we're continuing on Hey, I'm an Offensive Editor. Yeah, so let's go over the question again. So we have this idea of when a person, when the judge is putter from paying. Okay, so who was it? Rav and Shmuel. They both said that if you want to be putter from tashlumin, if you want to judge and be putter from paying for your mistakes, take rishus from the Reish Galusa, right? And the Rush, we saw now, the Rush says, even a hedjah. Right? Even a hedjah. So that...
Bal Korchach or?
That's Bal Korchach. Okay. So that is... that is what? So that's an idea... So what's that patur from? That patur comes from the strength from Hefker based in Hefker. Rashi and Tosfos both say that. And that's why the Gemara says that from Eretz Yisrael, that from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael is Bavel is superior to Eretz Yisrael. Because the idea of Hefker based in Hefker is a Hafkos Mamon, and that's a real matter of political power. I mean, it's an element of political power to be mafkia somebody's mamon. It's true. We say it's hefker based in hefker, but it's not like a based in of. It's not based in functioning in terms of chachma, like Tosa says. Tosa says in terms of chachma, in terms of iser v'heter alone, in terms of a psak of iser v'heter, the Gemara indicates Eretz Yisrael was superior to Bavel. That's in terms of pure chachma. But there's a function of based in to be rod ha'am, to keep the nation in line. And that function of power of based in, power, the political power of based in, that is, that's stronger in Bavel. That element is stronger in Bavel. Why? Now we says it seems to be machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about that, right? Rashi says because the Reish Galusa is backed up by the Medina of Pras, by the powerful, by the army, by the nation of, by the king of Pras. And Tosfos as Yerushalmi seems to say because it's the Reish Galusa was from the Zecharim of David. In other words, they're saying Beis Din does have two roles. It has a certain role of Hora, in terms of Isser V'Heter, like Sanhedrin, and then it has a certain role of adjudicating disputes, which has to do with the right to be yorated to somebody's mamon and give it to somebody else. So even though it all works through Beis Din, but the Gemara is saying that the power of Hora is superior in Eretz Yisrael, and the power of controlling somebody's mamon is superior in Bavel. The power of Hora goes by the Chochma, but the power of taking away someone's mamon goes by the ability to back it up, apparently. So that seems to be what Rashi holds. So since they're coming from the authority and the koach of Malchei Pras, who has a greater in terms of the ability of Hora, that just is an objective idea. That's in terms of the quality of the thinking itself. But in terms of the Hefker based in Hefker, you can say Hefker based in Hefker all you want, but if you can't back it up, then it lacks in your ability in other words, what I'm trying to say is like this. An idea exists whether or not somebody can enforce it. I mean, it's truth. Truth exists whether somebody can enforce their concept. Right? You can have a person who's not powerful, but doesn't have political might, but he has the right idea. And because he doesn't have the right idea, because he doesn't have the political might, doesn't mean he doesn't have the right idea, right? But that's Hora. But Hefker based on Hefker is really an idea of changing people's, of effectuating change. You understand? It's an idea of effectuating change in people's monetary domains. That is not just a concept. That is an effect. And to be able to say something, to say Hefker based in Hefker, and not to have the effect of being able to do anything, lacks in that Maisa. So whoever has the greater ability to enforce their decree or their decision of it has the greater ability of Hefker based in Hefker. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. So
if a Beisdin makes a decree that nobody keeps, it doesn't count. As a matter of fact, that's a halacha. We hold that halachically. That if a Beisdin makes a gzera that the rov of the nation can't follow, it doesn't have any effect. It doesn't have to be. It's a batal me'elav. It's batal automatically. It just doesn't have an effect because the essence of the decree is to change behavior and to shape a society, and it didn't do it. It didn't do it. It's not capable of having that effect, so it doesn't exist. It's like a it's like a failed attempt, right? But so therefore, when we want to measure superiority in terms of taking away people's property essentially by Hefker based in Hefker, or taking away their rights, we have to look at who has the greater ability to back it up. That's what Rashi seems to be learning. But if someone has a great idea that nobody accepts, he still had the great idea. Can't take that away from him. Many times that's what happens. Someone had a great idea, no one accepted it, and then 100 years later they did. So he still gets credit. He still gets credit. Right? That's the way Rashi seems to learn. Tosa seems to learn a little differently. He seems to learn that the force of Malchus, of the Zechorim of Malchus, is really the Bavel, he says, comes from the Zichrei Yehuda.
Yeah.
And therefore, they come from the branch of the true Malchus, and that's the one who halachically has the greater right to confiscate the property. Like I said the other day, like Shmuel said in the beginning of Shmuel, you see, he tells the Jews when they're asking for a melech. He says, "You sure? You make sure you know what you're asking for. The king can do this. He can do that. You know, all those things. That's a power of a king." Okay, so let's go further. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, so now let's take up the. Oh, so the other question we were working on is. Oh, sorry. So that's the first step. The Reish Galusa who gives Rishus. So then his Rishus has the koach of being of Hefker Beis and Hefker. So then the guy will be Potter. But then we had two other cases. You have the mumche, who's don bal korcha, he's chayev, because he doesn't have the rishus of reish galusa. But if he's asked to judge, then he's potter. And the way the rush, and so two, three, based on the three. And the rush says, it makes sense, as it goes, since he can judge by himself bal korcha, so then asking him must elevate him somewhat. So it elevates him to being potter. But a yochid hejot, who has no right to force anyone to din, if he is asked to judge, he can judge, but he'll still be chayiv. Unless they specifically say, we accept you and your mistakes. So those other two, so we were just saying, we understand why you're putter from the Reish Galusa. We just wanted to get, if we can get a little clarification on why you're putter in the other two cases, that'll be good. Then we'll have to go into the whole topic a little deeper. Yeah. Okay, let me see if I can try to give you an approach to this question. Let's just ask the basic question. By the Mumcha L'Rabim. Right? That's the harder case some people are having difficulties with. By the Mumcha L'Rabim. Why is he Chayav when he forces you to come to him? And potter when you accept him. Okay? People are giving me good reasons, but halachically speaking, can we give it a halachic definition over here? Right. I mean, what does the rush mean when he says, this line over here? When he says, V'kein shlosha jyotos. D'i kiblum alayu paturim. D'kevin d'bal korcha chicholam lodun. Ahani had the kiblum alayu lepotrim. Since they could judge in bal korcha, so then the Kabbalah must be effective to pater them. Yeah. In other words, so let's try like this. Why are they chayav first? Let's take that case. Why are they chayav first? Why are they chayav? So they're coming. Why would they be chayav? Because they're coming to judge based on principles of Torah, right? They're coming to judge to give a halachic determination, a din Torah. That's what they're coming to implement. And they made a mistake. If the individual made a mistake in his din Torah, so then, and that caused somebody to lose his money, so we can say he didn't do what he was supposed to do. Right? He failed. He made a mistake. He erred in his duty over here, or in what he was attempting to do, and he caused the loss. So it was just a simple matter of looking at what he was attempting to do, right? He was coming in to do a din Torah, and he didn't, because he made a mistake. It wasn't a proper din Torah. And therefore, he's responsible for that mistake. That I can understand. Somewhat. But when you ask, so what happens when you ask him to judge for you? So then what? He still messed up. Right. How does that relate to the fact that he could have done it bar korach, and he still could have, and he still did mess up what he was trying to do? Right? They didn't say specifically, I'm going to take your mistakes. Is that all they mean? Is it just like we impute that meaning? That must mean you and your mistakes?
Yeah, I like that.
So, let me just try to describe it. That was when as a mumcha l'rabim, he has an authority of halacha itself. As we were saying last week, that where does his authority to judge bal korcho stem from? It stems from his expertise in din, right? That's where his authority stems from. That's who he is. That's part of his definition. He's an authority in din. And if he were just exercising his authority, if he was coming to judge bal korchach, what right is he coming via? He's coming via his expertise in din, correct? But if in his decision he makes a mistake, you understand? Mm-hmm. Then he's deviating from his mandate, so to speak. He's not implementing properly the very authority that he had to judge. Right? His authority stems from a certain objective sphere, the fact that objectively he's an expert. And yet, when he makes a mistake, that's a deviation from expertise.
And therefore what?
And therefore, it makes sense. There's an idea that he should be chayev.
Yeah.
Okay? But if people come to him, okay, they come to him and they say, we want you to judge us. That's, now he's not operating anymore based on an objective, based, he's not operating on the authority of his own objective knowledge.
What, because it's not bal korcho?
Not bal korcho. How is he operating? Because they are submitting to him. But once they submit to him, once they makabel him,
I'm not following exactly.
In other words, two guys come to the. There's two cases. Either the
what
guy.
What changes if they come to him as opposed to not?
So, what changes is what I'm trying to say. What changes is the means through which he has a right to adjudicate. What is he actually doing? In both cases, he's doing something slightly different. When he's expressing, when he is coming bal korchach, so what does that mean? It means to say that there is this objective institution of expertise. And he's sort of latching on to that. What gives him the right to pull somebody into a basin and judge them when they're screaming, I don't want to?
And not be responsible for their mistakes?
No, just to do it. Okay. I want to know what gives him the right to do it. So what gives him the right to do it is that there is this objective idea of mastery of the subject. And the master of the subject has a certain dominion over the subject. And if the subject is din, he has a certain dominion over din. Okay? But that's like an objective thing. And to the degree that he is engaged in it is what he has a right, the reason he has a right to do it is because he sort of is latching on to that, You understand? So like, that idea of being a master is a certain objective idea. To the degree that he's matching up to it is what gives him the right to engage it. You understand? But it's because he is engaging, it's because he is embodying a certain objective idea of mastery over the subject. Now, if when he does the din he messes up, then he is deviating from his very, from the very thing that gave him the right to act. What gave him the right to act was this idea that a master of the subject has a right to make a to enforce it. But when he makes a mistake, he's not exhibiting that mastery. So it's a failing in his very action. The very action stemmed from the idea of an objective mastery of the subject. And his mistake is a deviation from that. So it's a failure in what he was doing. That's one case. Okay? But when people come to an individual and they say, we want you, right? We want you. Okay? Of course it might be because it has to do with the fact that he has a great reputation of being a master. Okay? But in essence, that's a submission to him as an individual. They're submitting to him as an individual. And now he's judging he's not judging anymore Baal Korchach. He's not judging merely by the institution of, by the objective idea of a mastery of a subject, but they want him. They want him. They want his take on things. They want his particular views they like. They trust him, whatever it is. So now, even his mistake is not a deviation from what his right to judge is not a deviation from his right to judge.
Because they wanted that guy's take on
him. Okay, he made a mistake, but did he deviate from his mandate? No.
What are you calling his mandate?
His right to act. The mandate is your right to act. So what gives him the right to act in each case? And when he's doing it, Baal Korchach, he only has the right to act because of this objective idea of mastery over the subject. And if he makes a mistake, he's not living up to his mandate. He's not living up to his right to act.
What are we calling this objective? His mumchelness.
Mumchelness. Exactly.
Status.
Exactly. His expertise.
Okay.
Right? His expertise.
Yeah.
But if they submit to him as a gavra, then we can say that they're including that now his right to judge is not based on his own, just innately on his exhibiting the expertise, but they submitted to him as an individual. Okay.
So now.
But the question now you're going to ask me is, what about the hedjah?
Yeah, exactly.
Let me just finish. No, that's what the rush means. It means if you have the right to judge Baal Korchach, so then. Let's skip to the. So what about the hedjot? So it's like this. Yeah, Yana?
Oh.
So the hedjah, when they come to the hedjah and they say, we want you to judge us, so what are they saying? They're saying, we're going to give you the right to enter the realm of din. In other words, all they're saying is that without the Balei Dinim, this person had no right to be in the realm of din to begin with. Their acceptance of him is only to say that for our purposes, we'll accept you as having the right to judge. That's what the Rush is trying to say. He's trying to say that you've got to look at what the person is, and then an acceptance has to be... in other words, what does it mean to accept? To accept means that you're going to submit to something that you didn't have before. To submit to something means you're going to give up something that wasn't there from before. It's going beyond what is present. To submit to something means that you're going beyond what the present situation demands. So if the guy's a mumchil rabim, so then his present situation his present situation of din is that he embodies expertise. By submitting to him, I'm saying, I'm going to submit to you personally. But if the person is not in the realm of din at all, objectively, the only submission is to give him a right to enter the realm of din. But if he makes a mistake, then he's making a mistake. Unless I specifically say, I could do two things at once. I could say, I'll let you judge and I'll accept all of your mistakes. But that's already two things. That has to be expressed explicitly. So it comes out like this. So what were you saying, Yonah, to amend the first way? Is that when you submit to the Gavra, it's the Gavra as an expert in the system that you're submitting to. But when you submit to the Hedyot, it's qualifying him to judge. All you're doing is giving him a qualification to judge. He doesn't have an objective qualification. The Mumcha L'Rabim has an objective qualification of a judge. So submitting to him is taking his personality into account as well. But the taking his him as a gavra into account as well. So you're sort of elevating him to an objective status. I agree with Yonah. You're elevating him as an individual to like an embodiment of judgment. Now I'm trying to say, see, that's what I say. I'm maybe a little bit different on that point. I think that's the point that I was trying to clarify. That when he's a mumchil rabim, it's only to the degree that he's exhibiting his expertise. He's not objectively an institution of din, right? That's a practical thing. It's because he practically knows what he's doing. He has the ability to engage the system of din on his own. But if he falls short, then he didn't. Then in that way he acted, he wasn't acting like a mumchil rabim. So he didn't. He fell short. But if I accept him, then I'm sort of. Then we're saying we are crowning you as a gavra, per se, of din. So then everything he does would have that would be part of that submission. But if the person is a hedgeot, then he's only being allowed to enter and act as a dayan. But it's not a submission to him as an objective embodiment of din. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the Gemara says, or the Rishonim have a funny expression, they say, why is the mumchil rabim potter? It says, because it's just your bad luck. It's your bad luck. Everybody makes mistakes once in a while. You accepted him as your guy. So that's it. It's too bad. He made a mistake. On your time, he made a mistake. That's just bad luck for you. You understand?
Whereas,
that's because that's all part of the guy. Every guy sometimes makes mistakes. You accepted him. Happens that he makes one mistake every 25 years and it was your turn that he was sitting on your case and he made the mistake. That's mazle goramle. That's your tough luck. You can't, but you accepted him as a gavra. And that's what people do sometimes. But if a guy is forcing you to din, he's only forcing you by way of the expertise itself. And knowledge itself never makes mistakes. So to the degree he's making mistakes, he's not acting in line with true knowledge. And then he has no right. In other words, when you come to the Mumcha L'Rabim, you're submitting to him because of certain things. But even a person who has the greatest knowledge sometimes makes a mistake. So by the Hejo, we don't say that that's what they're saying. We don't say that they're saying, we're coming to you because you're the greatest expert, and therefore we that's not what it means. That's not what the Kabbalah means. The Kabbalah has to be working on, that's like the Rosh saying. It's like, you have to have a certain plain shot. That the Kabbalah is going to be based on what the person is, and then it has to be interpreted in that framework. So if a guy is a Hejo, it's like, I think the Rambam has this expression. He says if they appoint a guy who doesn't know anything, who's not a gomer at all, someone appoints him as a judge, it's nothing, because it's like being makar of a baal mum. Doesn't help. You can be makar of a baal mum, doesn't make it a good carbon. So just saying that to say that we're makabel you can't turn the guy into an expert. So all it means is the plain shot is what it means is look, we're stuck. We have no expert. So we will give you the right to try your best at doing din. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But we're going to give. Normally, you wouldn't have the right to try your hand at din. We're going to give you. We're going to submit to you in order that you will have the right now to render a din Torah. But we're not saying, it can't be automatically interpreted to mean we go with you because we think you're the best guy. We think that we respect you as the ultimate representative of Din. If they say that, if they say we accept you no matter what, that's fine. That's sort of like pshara. It's like kol tanayv dini mamas is a kayim. You can settle your disputes in any manner of ways. So what I want to do now, although we've sort of settled this question in a simple way, it becomes enormously complicated when you get to Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph. And I'd like to try our hand at that. Okay? So let me just... we have another few minutes before we dive in. So let's just start the sugi together a little and we'll get you started for tomorrow. So the Mishnahs are like this. The Mishnah is Echad Dine Mamanus, right? The differences between Dine Mamanus and Dine Nefashis. So one of the differences is like this. Let's see. It says like this.
This Dine, is the first Mishnah?
In the first Mishnah in the Parak, in Lamed Beis. It says, Dine Mamanus Machziren. Bein Lezuchus, Bein Lechova. Right? It's like 10 lines down, 8 lines down. So. Dine Nefashis Machziren Lezuchus, Vein Machziren Lechova. So that's what the Mishnah says. What does it mean, machzirin? So Rashi says, Sosrin es adin la'acha shegamru v'yadu shato machzirin es adavar bein lezuchus bein lechova. So the Mishnah says, what is one of the key differences between a civil case and a capital case? That in a civil case, even a monetary question, so the Beis Din reaches a conclusion, Shimon is Chayev Levi, $1,000. They lower the gavel and they go home for the day. Then they wake up next morning and they say, oh, we made a mistake. So they come back and say, oh no, we undo the din. Shimon is not Chayev Levi, $1,000. Levi, give back the $1,000. Okay, fine. That would be where the din was L'chova and they were Machzer it L'zuchus. Or it could be the other way. They concluded the first time around, Shimon is not chayev to Levi $1,000. That's what we call that lezuchus. Then they come back the next day and say, no, we made a mistake. Well, after we do it, Shimon is chayev. That's lechova. Okay? Yeah. Whereas dine nefashos, you can only overturn the original din lezuchus, not lechova. Right? Obviously, it doesn't mean after the guy is killed, because you can't bring the guy back to life. But it means after the Gemara din, but before the execution.
Death row.
Right, death row. So now the Gemara is like this. Dine mominus machzir, and are you telling me that you can change the din, right? Uraminu. Dones ha-din. This is the Mishnah we read quickly on Vav Amelf. Dones ha-din.
Where are we right now?
On the top of Lam Gil. What's that? In the top of the long Don es hadin, zika es a chayev, chayev es a zaka, aitim es a tohar, tir es a tome, masha asoy vishalim ibeso. So it says, if a person does din and he's mechayev or mezake, now here's interesting. Now it's bringing in isavetha too. He says something is tohar when it's tohar, or vice versa. Masha asa asoy, it says, Rashi alma lohada, means you can't change it. Whatever was done was done. Umeshalim v'yishalim ibeso. So how can you tell me dine mominus is machziran also? There's another Mishnah that says openly, what's done is done, and the dayan has to pay. Why what's done is done, machziran? Why can't he just come back and say no? You understand? It's a stira. It's an open stira. Now there are several answers given. Okay. And we're going to have to try to keep track of them all. Ready? Omar Rav Yosef lo kasha. Kan b'mumcha, kan b'she'ena mumcha. So there's no question. This is a mumcha, and this is not a mumcha. Which is which? B'mumcha, Rashi says, yesh bo koach lachzor. If a guy is an expert and he made a mistake, then he has the power to change his psak. Listen to Rashi. V'lo motzi l'meimar le'bal din, and the litigant can't say to him, ana ki taima kama didochav dinan. I like your first answer better. Oval b'shein o mumcha, but if the guy was not a mumcha to begin with, motzi omar le' miyemar de taima basra didoch ikar. Doma kama ikar. But the guy himself wasn't a bucky, he wasn't a mumcha when he gave his first answer. So the guy can say, who says your second answer is better than your first answer? Duma kamaker. Ubahayudatis. Maybe you're making a mistake now. So that's Rav Yosef's answer. Now when it says in the Mishnah Machzirin, that's a mumcha. And when it says Masha Asla Asla is an anal mumcha. It's a nice answer. The only problem is, it's definitely wrong. What? He says, "Kan b'mumcha kan b'she'enu mumcha u'b'mumcha machzirin." But are you telling me now that a mumcha can change his mind? V'hakatani, the very end of that Mishnah, if you remember, says, "Im hayo mumcha lebeistin potam yilashalim." I asked that a question. Rashi. But still, Masha Asa Asli. That's Rashi learning. Alma Masha Asa Asli Umiu Pater. The only difference between the Reisha and the Seifa is the Reisha says Masha Asa Asli V'yishalim Mibeso. And then it says V'im Hoya Mumcha Lebeistin Pater Milashalim. It implies it's still Masha Asa Asli. It's just he's Pater. Right?
There's no
machzirin. Says no machzirin. Umiu potem yilashalim. Right. Alma masha asa asli. Umiu potem yilashalim. They gave the mumchu mazla bisha dahu gavra goram le limitoi. That's what I was telling you. You know why is he potter? Because this guy's bad luck.
I mean, no mumcha doesn't have any consequences to his actions.
The mumcha should be potter. And then we'll just do one more. Amar of Nachman, Kanshi is Godly Men of Chachma of Minyan, Kanshi is Godly Men of Chachma of Minyan. Yeah. Where does he machzirin? Yesh Godly Menu, also Godly Machzir Devarv Shal Zeh, the Yesh Bokoch Levatel, gets a different answer. It doesn't go over whether the guy's a mumcha or not. Even if he's a mumcha, he can't change the psak. But when can the psak be done undone? If you go to a higher basin, can change the lower basin's psak. And so when the Mishnah says machzirin, it means, yeah, if you have a smarter basin that looks over what you did and said you made a mistake, the higher basin can change your psak. Right? But if it's ein gadol mimenu lo tzayas le baldin la ahaduri uvda, the baldin won't listen to you. Vafilu zeo martisi lav kol kamini. What's so interesting about Rashi is that he seems to place this right in the hands of the baldin to listen. Okay, we'll take it up tomorrow.